This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 28th of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. We're kicking off this week with a roundup of the best art shows to see. And to talk us through them, I'm joined by Kathleen Fox-Davis, private art consultant and art dealer. On our list today, we have Gordon Chung's comment on materialism and economic growth in Breaking Tulips at the Alan Christie Gallery. American artist Wayne Thiebaud's prints and works on paper, which puts his bold paintings of everyday objects into a simpler form. And we'll end at the Atlas Gallery for Eleanor McNair's models of famous portraits in photographs rendered in Play-Doh, which sounds very much like it does exactly what it says on the tin. That's all coming up here on the Monocle Arts Review on Monocle 24. Kathleen, welcome back.
Thank
to the hot
much.
Seat. In a very cold studio, nonetheless, it is the hot seat.
It is freezing.
How on earth are we going to keep ourselves warm? I suppose we shall have to march in quick procession to the Alan Christie Gallery. We're talking about Breaking Tulips. This is Gordon Chung's show. Talk us through, what sort of work does Gordon Chung do?
He's a young artist in his career, so this is an amazing evolution of themes that he's been carrying on since the beginning of his graduation in 2001 here in London.
And this is an interesting thing. Breaking Tulips is just a kickoff. It's a kind of an interesting idea. You mentioned boom and bust economy.
Yes.
Yeah, never a bad time to do a show like this then.
No, this artist has a fascination with boom and bust markets. His work always reflects his deep-seated distrust of financial speculation that fuels our postmodern world. With this exhibition specifically, you need to have a little history lesson.
Me personally?
I think everyone.
Are you
I think
sorry,
everyone.
Like a slightly blank expression across my face.
I needed to have a history lesson, which the gallery is very helpful in providing, so you understand the works. Basically, Holland experienced a period of extraordinary wealth and power in the 16th and 17th centuries based around the tulip auction. And this is what Gordon Chung is actually exploring in this series, Breaking Tulip. The concept, the term Breaking Tulip is actually what we now know as a virus, but it wasn't known then. It was a virus that infected the tulip and gave it that amazing stripe. They were really rare. It only happened about 10% of the time, but those were the tulips everyone
wanted.
Those
were the prize.
Exactly.
Specimens.
And Gordon Chung only discovered this when he was researching boom and bust markets 5 years ago. So that's how long this project has really been in the making. Specifically, in February 1637, there was a sales total of the equivalent of today's 6 million sterling for 99 stems.
Wow.
So the tulip was being traded at 10 times the annual income of the average worker.
It's absolutely bananas, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's actually the first ever recorded financial crash and crisis, because obviously this was not sustainable. It was hugely speculative. And Gordon Chung is referring this into our modern day.
So transposing the tulip mania and the great tulip crash of the 17th century onto current day's events. And how does he do this? I mean, we've got, it looks like oil on canvas, or maybe they're prints. What is the metaphor?
Well, they do look like oil on canvas, because what he's doing is he's appropriating 17th century well-known masterpieces of Dutch still life artists. They're actually works that sit in the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. So he's taking these well-known images, they're images that aren't his, he's uploading them into a program that has an algorithm that distorts and actually glitches the images. He runs it through tens of thousands of times, literally giving the images a virus, which is the same thing as what those broken tulips had.
It's a fantastic idea.
It is a fantastic idea, but you've got these incredibly vivid, sumptuous colors jumping off. They're pigment prints, but jumping off of his own canvas, and they seem to just be deconstructing and running off the frame in front of your eyes. It's really something to behold.
And do these kind of only really work in series? You have to see a lot of these in order to get the idea, or
have
one?
You get the idea of what Gordon Chung is trying to say by seeing the entire series. What we're talking about were the pieces from New Order and Small New Order. He also has the Tulip Mania series, which is painted on the market listings from the Financial Times. He uses that as the background of everything that he works with, paint, collage, materials of that nature. But he tries to use the Financial Times as a background for everything. So you've got these market listings literally marching down the page, where then he is recreating the watercolor images from the original Dutch catalogs of the tulips. So you've got this historical reference and then the modern day markets.
And how closely is he critiquing the art market?
I found it quite interesting and slightly ironic that this artist is young in his career, having a hugely successful exhibition in one of the top galleries in London, if not the world. And it is a comment into itself, because he's commenting on these speculative markets. He's commenting on the idea of materialism while he's himself creating these coveted items to be collected.
Yeah, it's a good one. It kind of goes full circle, I suppose. And as a dealer yourself, what sort of people will be interested in these pieces?
Well, I found these incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
They really are reminiscent of the classic 17th century Dutch still life. They're beautiful. They're just beautiful. So I really think that with this show, you would have a collector that perhaps has interest in the old master paintings that are not obtainable. And you might have someone that really loves the social commentary and critique that this artist is making about our society as a whole. Or you have someone that wants to support a young artist in the budding part of his career and then perhaps even speculate on where his career may go.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Exactly.
I love that idea. And also, presumably, of course, those tulip paintings painted in the kind of Dutch Golden Age were celebrating exploration and this new thing, which was horticulture. And now they come back full circle and they're like a warning from history.
Exactly.
Almost. It's fascinating stuff. That is Gordon Chung. The show's called Breaking Tulips. It's in the Alan Christie Gallery in London. Sounds like a must-see, that one. We're going to move on to Wayne Thiebaud at the Sims Reed Gallery. And what's this one about? This is called Prints and Works on Paper. I think we can work that one out without scratching our heads too much. What is Wayne Thiebaud's practice, Kathleen?
Wayne Thiebaud is known as an American painter. He's also a printmaker and draftsman. He has been exhibiting in the United States since 1951. His works are in the Museum of Modern Art here in Tate Britain, Guggenheim, you name it. He's got a huge name in America, but he really is not widely known here in Europe. So this exhibition at the Sims Reed Gallery is an opportunity to discover one of the masters of pop art. His work...
It's quite geometric, isn't it?
It is very geometric. Wayne Thiebaud is largely considered the early influencer and member of the pop art movement, but the work really situates itself somewhere between realism and pop art. The subject matter that he chooses to approach, reapproach, revisit throughout his entire career, he is still working now at a ripe old age. It's sweet. It's gentle on the eye. It's familiar. They're candies. They're cakes. You look at these pieces. He works and lives in California, and you walk into this gallery, and with the lovely pastel colors and the subject matter, it really does harken back to sort of a simpler time, a lovely California sunny day.
It's a bit of the Norman Rockwell of the pop artist.
Exactly. Well, on the surface, it
yeah,
is.
Right.
It is. And it's only when you actually start exploring this exhibition that you see that this artist is actually a master draftsman, and he has absolute precision when it comes to drawing and executing his prints. The curator has been able to place side by side drawings, prints, and paintings of the same subject matter. So you actually see how the artist is working through the process and breaking down things like ice cream cones or lipsticks, really simple everyday objects, into their elemental forms of cylinder, sphere, cube. And he's working those shapes again and again and again.
And we're familiar with pop artists who appropriate brands rather than generic items like ice creams or lipsticks or whatever. Is he sort of making specific reference to brands like Richard Hamilton did or Warhol did, or are they very much the symbols almost?
They are very much the objects themselves. Mm. There's no branding in this exhibition. It is just about the objects that he continues to revisit through his long career.
So this is a retrospective.
It is a retrospective.
In a sense. Yeah.
And it's also showing the multidiscipline of this artist and his real skill. What he's known for are his paintings. So this is breaking it down to the fundamentals of, obviously, you see how he's working through the process, perhaps even to get to the painting, or maybe just to keep it as a print because he saw that as a work of art in itself.
That's fascinating stuff as well. I love the sound of that. Sounds like a sounds like a good one to see.
It's delightful.
Yeah, and it's on at the same time as the pop art from everywhere that wasn't US and UK on at the Tate Modern at the moment as well. It's a nice time to see both, perhaps. Cool. Okay. Well, that was Wayne Thiebaud at the Sims Reed Gallery. We're going to end at the Atlas Gallery, just over the road from a spitting distance or a stone's throw, depending upon how polite you're feeling, from Monocle HQ here. And this is Eleanor McNair. These are charming and quite witty photographs. They're works in Play-Doh and then they're photographed. Talk us through this one, Kathleen.
Well, photographs rendered in Play-Doh at Atlas Gallery is what it says it is. This is the international debut exhibition of the breakthrough artist Eleanor McNair. This is her first ever project. It started on a whim in 2013 at a pub quiz with fellow industry professionals. Eleanor McNair actually works, her day job is fashion and photography, PR and press. So this idea came about in a pub quiz where one of the rounds was to create a photograph in Play-Doh. And she took this idea and took it one, two, three, four steps further, ended up establishing a Tumblr blog where she would post maybe once a week these incredible images of these sculptural Play-Doh deconstructions of both iconic and lesser-known contemporary photographers.
So, and there's sort of, and this is interesting work coming out, having had what I can only describe as a quick Google of this. Kathleen, I'm sorry.
Well, it doesn't actually open until Thursday.
But some of her stuff is, she does sort of well-known album covers that are obviously photographs of, there's Grace Jones, Island Life, and these very well-known album covers. And then sort of, I don't know whether they're Cartier-Bresson, but sort of kind of classic old photography and things like that. So she's got, it's a very interesting thing. What are we saying? What might Eleanor McNair be saying about the kind of culture of photography, collecting photography as art by making these Play-Doh images?
Well, I think, and this is my interpretation of the work, I think Eleanor is teaching us how to relook at the images we see in our everyday world. This project was originally presented on the internet, and it gained an amazing following of curators, of museum and gallery professionals, fellow artists, the everyday internet viewer. She gained huge popularity, and it says a lot to the democracy of the internet. But she's breaking down these well-known iconic images, album covers, perhaps even images from advertisement fashion. Yeah. She's breaking these images down to their very, very basics because she's using, there's no shade, you've got flat planes of color in Play-Doh that are recreating these images, and you know immediately when you see it what image she's doing. But I think that that is actually because of her day job where she works in press, and the average viewer has a 2 or 3 second interest span when looking at an image. And she is disciplined to strip it down to the very most interesting elements to present it. And that's what we're seeing here.
It's an interesting thing. Presumably her day job is finding the image that will pop off a press release or whatever it might be. And obviously the culture of the internet is such that you need the most obvious image. We tend to think most art practice is taking the frame before the famous one or the one after it. So it's an interesting thing. I wonder how she changes, because the framing of these photographs, of these works, is very important when it moves from the internet to a gallery space.
The printing, the framing, the actual exhibition of the works. I was allowed a sneaky peek by the gallery director earlier this week of this highly anticipated show, and the pieces are beautiful. The works that Eleanor's creating out of Play-Doh are objects, and they don't exist anymore. As soon as she's done it, she snaps a photograph. She started actually using her mobile phone camera. She's now upgraded to basically a tourist digital camera. There's nothing high-tech here. She is representing the every man and every woman. So anyone could be a creator of art, according to Eleanor.
Nice. Yeah, well, why not? And she destroys the plasticine
models. She destroys
them.
So the images are the only remaining proof of this thing that she's made. The gallery has actually created the pieces as small objects, the way they're presented. They're encased beautifully in these frames. They're not very big. And then following Eleanor's mass popularity ideas, they've created a show that's also affordable to the everyman. This is something that any Joe Schmo off the street could walk in, fall in love with an image, and purchase it for the price they'd pay for the pair of shoes.
That's me.
Which
Joe Schmo. Joe Schmo. You've got that wonderful Americanism into our radio program.
Thank
I love
you.
That.
But it's an incredible concept for a high-level London gallery, to be working in this way with an artist that literally has come up from a grassroots movement. Eleanor spoke about seeing a show last year at the at Tate Britain. It was a folk art exhibition. So they're all artists that probably have never been remembered by history unless you go specifically looking for them. But she was quite taken with an artist called Mary Linwood, who recreated great works of the masters in embroidery, if you can imagine.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And these embroidered images were widely circulated and seen 1,000 times more than the originals ever were. So she was actually more popular in her day than some of the great masters that the history books remember. And Eleanor sort of saw herself as a modern day Mary Linwood working to perhaps expose the masses to the bit of culture they might not ever see.
I love it. It's charming stuff. That is Eleanor McNair, photographs rendered in Play-Doh. That's at the Atlas Gallery. Before that, we talked about Wayne Thiebaud's sort of retrospective at the Sims Reed Gallery. And we kicked off by talking about Breaking Tulips by Gordon Chung at the Alan Christie Gallery. That's a triple bill. That's a triple bill to go and see all in one afternoon. Gallery hop. Do it. Talking us through those highlights well as Kathleen Fox-Davis. Thank you very much,
for joining us,
Kathleen. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when Luke Turner will be joining us for our music review. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and thank you very much for tuning in.